I echo the words of the psalmist who says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is good to gather together today to worship. Welcome to the service of worship here at First Presbyterian Church. Many different things happening in the calendar of events, so take a look in your bulletin, all the different meetings coming up this week. Make sure if you're part of one of them or if you have information for them or want information about them, reach out to elders, people in charge of those meetings. Also, we have a few suggestions that have come in for our logo contest. So if you've had some ideas on that and ideas on what might be a logo that we could put on t-shirt, on window clings, coffee mugs, whatever it might be, something to have as a logo representing our church out in the community, let the office know, touch base with us. Definitely looking forward to seeing some of these come to fruition and be able to have a good witness out there in the community. We do want to continue to keep all of the events of the world affairs in our prayers, all the events locally, many different things happening, and bad things seem to hit the news, and we talk about those, but there are also many good things that often don't make the news. Those opportunities when people get out of hospital, when they're getting over illnesses, all sorts of little things. We need to lift those up. I invite you to use the prayer request cards to be able to share not only those areas of life that we need to lift up where our hearts are heavy, but also those celebrations of life as well. Today is a day. I want to introduce you to Tilly. Kind of embarrass you there in the back. She's our new office staff, communications coordinator, administrative assistant. So she's here today. If you have some questions for her about how things are working or whatever, introduce yourself to her as well. She's been diving in, doing a great job here so far. So welcome to worship here this morning, Tilly. As we gather together, let us let go of the troubles of this world, the distractions of this world. Let us focus on worshiping God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As the light of Christ comes in and as the bell is tolled, marking the beginning of our worship service.
Please stand as you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship. We come to you this day with burdens and cares in our hearts. Lord, take these burdens from us and ease our souls. We come to you this day with fear and uncertainty about the future. Lord, calm our fears and help us to place our trust in you. Come, let us worship God, whose love is abundant. Let us praise the God of our salvation, who watches over us always. Amen. Open our hearts today, O Lord, to feel the powerful strength and love you have for us. Help us to listen not only with our ears, but with our spirits for your words of compassion and healing. Enable us to become more faithful disciples for you. For we ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember that our Lord Jesus can sympathize with us in our weakness, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with boldness, approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Life is sometimes like a giant spider web. We seem to get caught and entangled in its threads, not knowing which way to turn or how to extricate ourselves from the dilemmas in which we are trapped. Lord, you know that so many of these dilemmas and burdens are of our own creation, coming out of our stubbornness and fear. We find it much easier to turn our back on people in need or just write a check and hope that the problems go away. Forgive us when we decide not to become involved in the solution, when we would rather back off from helping and turn and run for cover. Let us take a few moments to offer silent confessions. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Give us an extra measure of courage and strength, along with your forgiving love, that we may again place our whole trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Hear these instructions from Ephesians 4. Accept each other with love and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. The peace of Christ be with you. Please take a few moments to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Psalm 22, verses 19 through 28. But you, Lord, don't be far away. You are my strength. Come quick and help me. Deliver me from the sword. Deliver my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you in the very center of the congregation. All of you who revere the Lord, praise him. All of you who are Jacob's descendants, honor him. All of you who are all Israel's offspring, stand in awe of him. Because he didn't despise or detest the suffering of the one who suffered, he didn't hide his face from me. No, he listened when I cried out to him for help. I offer praise in the great congregation because of you. I will fulfill my promises in the presence of those who honor God. Let all those who are suffering eat and be full. Let all who seek the Lord praise him. I pray your hearts live forever. Every part of the earth will remember and come back to the Lord. Every family among all the nations will worship you. Because the right to rule belongs to the Lord, he rules all nations.
Today's gospel reading prescribed by the Revised Common Lectionary comes from Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verses 26 to 39. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus and his disciples sailed to the Gerasenes' land, which is across the lake from Galilee. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, a certain man met him. The man was from the city and was possessed by demons. For a long time he had lived among the tombs, naked and homeless. When he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down before him. Then he shouted, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." He said this because Jesus had already commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had taken possession of him, so he would be bound with leg irons and chains and placed under guard. But he would break his restraints, and the demon would force him into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had entered him. they pleaded with him not to order them to go back to the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs. Jesus gave them permission, and the demons left the man and entered the pigs. The herd rushed down the cliff into the lake and drowned. When those who tended the pigs saw what happened, they ran away and told the story in the city and in the countryside. People came to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully dressed, completely sane. They were filled with awe. Those people who had actually seen what had happened told them how the demon-possessed man had been delivered. Then everyone gathered from the region of the Gerasenes and asked Jesus to leave their area because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and returned across the lake. The man from whom the demons had gone begged to come along with Jesus as one of his disciples. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell the story of what God has done for you." So he went throughout the city, proclaiming what Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. So, do you know what this is? It is a phone. It's a phone. A cell phone. Anybody here have a cell phone? Anybody? Anybody at all? So, I didn't get my first cell phone until I had graduated from college and I was married. My husband and I got matching cell phones. It was kind of cute. But I remember at the time, my husband's grandmother, we called her Barney because she liked to get everywhere fast. And that was the name of a IndyCar racer at the time when she was younger that raced pretty fast. So we called her Barney, and she could not understand why anybody would want a cell phone. She didn't understand how it worked. It doesn't have any attachments to the wall that you have to talk into. And why would you need it to talk to anybody on the phone if you weren't home? And you could always go into a payphone and put money in if you needed to talk to anybody. So she wanted nothing to do with cell phones. Nothing at all. So we, as we got our cell phones, we would call her places, and she thought that was pretty handy. She could know where we were. And then we would talk to her about, well, you know, if you had a cell phone and your car broke down, you could call somebody and they could help you. And so it took a long time, but she eventually did get a cell phone. And you know, one time or a couple times, I even saw her text, which was a way big thing at the time. So she was kind of afraid of the cell phone. She didn't understand why she would need it. And she was really afraid of it. So she wanted nothing to do with it. Did you hear the story that Pastor just read? It's kind of scary, wasn't it? Yeah, pigs falling off, jumping off and dying and all of those kinds of things. Well, in that story, you heard about a man. And the man, he had some troubles. He wasn't thinking quite right. And he was scared and afraid of everything, and he kind of scared other people. His family was so afraid that he might hurt himself or other people that they tried to keep him inside the house, but he didn't stay there, did he? Well, Jesus came to talk to people, to tell about God's love and to talk about the way that God loves everyone. And he met the man. And then did you hear what happened? The man was healed. He was thinking right again. He was able to talk. He was able to listen. He was able to be with everyone else without scaring them or himself. And it was a pretty cool thing. But guess what? Just kind of like Barney that we talked about and the cell phone, didn't want anything to do with it because it was kind of scary. It was a new thing. Those people, they weren't excited. They were afraid. They didn't know what to make of this. Who has that much power that they can make someone well again? And what is all of that about? We didn't want anything to do. They didn't want anything to do with it because they were afraid. They didn't understand it all. But the man who was healed, he was very excited. He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to tell people about what had happened to him. And Jesus said, I need you to stay here. Stay here with the people who you live with. Stay here with the people that you know. Because I want you to tell them about this story and about God's love. Just kind of like we had talked every single day with my husband's grandma about what could happen with this cell phone. Why would this be an okay thing? How is this good? So you might not think that it's really important if you tell a story to your friends that you know at school or out on the playground about Jesus. You might think, oh, that's not a big deal. But it's a very big deal. God has that job for all of us, to tell the stories about Jesus, about God's love, and about how God loves all of us. And each one of us do that job so we can help it so that people aren't afraid, that people are not afraid of God and not afraid of the cool things that God does. Because like we talked about the last week and all of those other weeks, God's too awesome for us to understand, too awesome for grown-ups to understand too. So instead of being afraid, we need to be always listening to God so we can learn more and share more with others. Let's take some time and let's do that right now. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for all the gifts that you give to us. We thank you for the surprises that you give to us. We thank you for all of the things that we can learn new each day. And we just ask that you would help us to share your love with everyone that we meet. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. That hymn that we just sang, "There is a balm in Gilead," is familiar. Loved hymn for many people. In the Old Testament, we're told that Gilead is this region east of the Jordan River, where there was this mysterious balm that people claimed healed. And people would go there and seek that balm. And Jeremiah, through the prophet Jeremiah, God told people, trust in me. Don't trust in these things of the world, these balms and these other mysteries. And then in the New Testament, we're given Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit as our comfort, our true healing. And yet, we continue even today to seek so many things in the world as a balm, as a way of healing other than trusting in God. And in many ways, that's just like today's text. Today's scripture from Luke's gospel begins in verse 26. As I always say, we need to know what is the context, what else happens around it. This chapter opens up with the parable of the sower and the seeds, Luke's version. We used Matthew's version last summer as our summer theme about how all the different seeds land on different soils, how some die, wither, some are taken up by the birds, some grow. When we read scripture like us, like this one today, as we go through this summer season, this ordinary time, as the church calls it on our calendar, it's a time of retelling the stories of the gospel. It's a time of telling the stories of our life and how we're growing in our faith. When we read a scripture like this, any scripture, we naturally gravitate towards the portions of it that are familiar to us, things that we seem to like, things that match up with who we are and what we've been taught in our life. We tend to hear what we want to hear, is another way of saying that. Many times it's some of the smaller, those seemingly insignificant details that we skip over that actually carry a greater weight, more importance to them. Whenever we read a good book or we watch a good movie, it's those little details that matter. The mannerisms of a character, how a person is dressed, the sights, the smells, the sounds that are happening. That sets the tone, the mood. It tells so much more about what's happening. When we skip over those little details, many times the main message changes. If you ever watch a movie and you have it muted and you just read the wording, the captions at the bottom of the screen, you don't hear the sound of rain and some of the other music that's playing in the background that sets the tone. It has an entirely different feel. If you simply read over the highlights of a book without all of the seemingly insignificant details, it doesn't have as much richness. Sometimes what seemed really good ends up being bad, and vice versa, depending on those little details. With that in mind, I've learned to read scripture looking for what are those little details that maybe I've often overlooked. Just prior to today's passage, Luke writes about Jesus calming the wind and the waves as the disciples cross over the Sea of Galilee at night. And the final question that is posed by the disciples in the boat, who is this? Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? that thought is in their mind as they land early in the morning on the shores in the region of the Gerasenes. As they land, they're met by a man from the city who for a long time has been possessed by many demons. He's lived alone among the tombs, naked, homeless, all alone. Now, for some of us, just the mention of demon possession might cause us to kind of check out and say, okay, I don't know about this. But I like how one commentator defined demons as those forces which have captured us, prevented us from becoming what God intends us to be. When we look at it that way, we're all surrounded by, maybe even in some ways possessed by as many demons as Jesus encountered in this man. These demons can be all sorts of different kinds, kinds that have medical names to them. Sometimes those demons that we don't want to admit, those destructive habits, the obsession of cell phones, as Jennifer mentioned in Children's Moment, can be a demon in our life. Sometimes even the demons of an interpretive bias, those things that we're accustomed to as we hear information, whether it's reading scripture or watching the news or watching a movie, that bias that we have of what we want to hear and what we don't want to hear can be a demon of sorts. Whatever the demons were for this man, Jesus cast the demons out into a herd of pigs. Pigs jumped off the cliff into the water and they died. And the man was sent home to tell everyone what Jesus had done for him. That's the Cliff Notes. That's ignoring all of the other little details. Most sermons on this text tend to focus on Jesus' power over evil to deliver us from various forms of demons, of bondage, of things that control us. They're about the importance of telling others the change that Jesus had brought into our life. These are not wrong. These are all good sermons. This is a true point of this message. We hear that Jesus has authority over the many demons that were possessed by the man. That is good news for us to hear. We hear that this man had been delivered from the demons, delivered from isolation. He was sitting at Jesus' feet. He was in community, maybe for the first time in his life. He was delivered to live in community once again with the people of the city, to live in community as we're all created in the image of God. I could end my sermon right now asking, so what has Jesus done for you? How are you going to proclaim this good news to others? I could, but I'm not going to. Deliverance, being delivered from whatever demon that we have. That's one step in healing, in that new life that God has for us. But it's not the whole experience. There's so much more in this account that, at least for me, I haven't really heard before. For me, as I studied this text, verse 37 jumped out at me, and I keep coming back to it. Verse 37 says, "Then everyone gathered from the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave their area because they were overcome with fear. So he got in the boat and returned across the lake." I've never heard a sermon preached on that. Claim your fear and tell Jesus, get out of here. That doesn't match up with the whole of Scripture, with the gospel message at all. So that's a good reason right there to not have a sermon on that. But yet, what's the importance that this detail is included in this passage? There must be something. Instead of celebrating with joy the fact that this man had been delivered from all of his demons, it says everyone from around the region asked Jesus to leave because they were afraid. Not just afraid, but they were overcome with fear. Some translations say they were seized with fear. They were possessed by fear. If they were seized, captured, possessed by fear, why didn't Jesus cast that demon out? Why did Jesus allow them to sit with that demon? In what ways do we allow fear to blind us from celebrating the good news in the lives of others around us? In what ways are we not so inclined to be open to that, and in our fear, we do, in a sense, push Jesus away? When we're face to face with someone in a situation that is awkward, uncomfortable, that we don't know much about, our tendency is just to come up with an excuse and look the other way, to quote unquote not notice, rather than to engage and to admit our fear, our uncertainty. Well, this one man was now free of many demons. Everyone else around was possessed by fear. When is it in our life that we perceive something that's really good as if it's actually bad? When do we perceive something as bad, but maybe it's actually good? When do we allow fear to have control over us? What ways do we hold tight to our desires, our comfort zone, and risk stepping out of that comfort zone and simply sitting with others? We need to name those moments in our life when fear overcomes us. Sometimes it's as simple as the fear of change, the fear of letting go of control, the fear of stepping forward into uncertainty. We'd think that our journey through the pandemic would have taught us that maybe we don't know everything that's happening, but we can trust God. We'd think that, but in many ways we've tried to take control back again. Deeper question, harder question is, how do we know when God is calling us to accept change rather than defending a good status quo? When is God calling us to stand firm in our belief and resist change? How do we discern that difference? How do we discern good from bad? And an even harder question is, how do we discern good from better? Maybe they're both good, but which way do we go? It begins deep down inside by having a willingness to be changed, if that's what the Spirit is at work in our lives doing. That willingness to release our grip a little bit and to hold loosely the Spirit in our hands and to say, okay, I'm no longer in control. It requires trusting God more than we trust ourselves. And for many of us, myself included, that is hard. It requires a commitment to remain together in unity, trusting in the loving bonds of Christ between us. To not say, nope, I disagree with you, so I'm picking up my marbles and I'm going home. I'm no longer going to be a part of this conversation. Instead, to take a deep breath and to say, help me understand where you're coming from. I don't get it. I want to understand. That's risky, because the other person might actually be right, and we might have to admit we're wrong. But we can do that when we're together in a community of trust that has God at the center of it all. These are questions that are part of practices we'll be taking a look at and exploring over the next few weeks. Practices that we need to embrace on our journey into an unknown future ahead. We need to work out in the safety of our own family of faith some of the differences that we have if we're ever going to have any kind of hope of being able to wrestle with the differences that are part of the global community that we are now in. My prayer for us is that generations to come are not going to say of us that we were like everyone in the Gerasenes who were afraid and we sent Jesus away. There are churches that I believe are doing that. May generations to come instead say of us that we longed to be with Jesus, but that we listened and we proclaimed all that Christ has done in our life. May we remain committed to trusting God, focused on living out the love of God in both unity and community. May we trust to see the good in the midst and in spite of the bad that we now perceive. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the ways in which there is lots of obvious good is being able to help out others. I invite Lori to come up and to share one of those ways, being able to focus on the good and the positive in life.
Good morning. First of all, I would like to thank my church family for all of the prayers and cards and text messages and emails and all the reaching out that I received from everyone during my recent illness. It was really overwhelming, and it really meant a lot. So thank you. I've missed being here tremendously. Today, Growing Connections is going to have Andrew Miller from Versity Blood Center to talk about what our blood donations really do and about Versity. So I hope you give Andrew an opportunity to be heard. Blood donations in the summer are so important because so many people travel, take vacations, that the donations are down. But that doesn't mean that the need is down. Just that the donations are down. We have a blood drive on July 8th from 1 to 5:30. We're extending the hours a bit to accommodate people that have had trouble getting in at the end there. Unfortunately, due to my recent illness, I can't donate this next round because my blood work isn't where it needs to be. So I challenge you to please sign up in my place and donate. I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
There are many ways that we give, to give back to the world, to show the love of God. One of those ways is to offer back a portion of that which God has entrusted to us. I invite the ushers to collect God's tithes, our offerings, and may we place our very hearts and lives symbolically in this plate to be transformed and used to further God's kingdom. Lord, we give you thanks for all that you have entrusted to us. We offer back a portion of that. Bless it. Allow it to be multiplied through your hands and your ways to be able to further your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated as we turn to God in a time of intercessory prayer. Almighty God, we are grateful to be able to gather together, to worship you, to praise you, to hear your word. Lord, help us to not take this opportunity for granted. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts that we might be able to notice all the tiny little details of your love, your grace, and your forgiveness at work in our lives. Capture our hearts for those who are held captive. Open our eyes to see your truth and your love at work in ways that we have not noticed. Lord, allow us to not trust in ourselves. Allow us to sit in the awkward silence and discomfort, naming the fears that we have in our hearts. Lord, join us together that we might be a household of ministry, healing one another, healing others, that we might be able to grasp the fullness of your peace. Allow your peace into our hearts and our lives. Allow us to truly desire to follow you, and yet allow us to be able to go back to those places you have called us to serve. Transform our places of employment into more than just a workplace and a vocation, but a true calling. Lord, give us the patience to simply sit and to connect with those you place in our path, to give testimony to the ways you have been at work in our lives. We ask that you grant leaders and decision makers around the world wisdom, concern for the well-being of all humanity. We ask that you be with those who are traveling, provide safety. Be with those who are unable to escape the heat. Open our eyes to see the ways in which we can provide your love, your compassion to those who need to be out in the heat. And Lord, continue to help us give voice to those minor miracles of being able to give thanks for your healing power at work through doctors, nurses, psychiatrists, through those who have created so many procedures and medications to be able to allow us to live an amazing life. Lord, help us to truly give thanks to you for all that we have. Hear the prayers of our hearts as we lift our voices together, praying the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand for our sending hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus. as you go out into the world, may you go out into the world knowing that you have encountered the risen Christ. May you go out into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit, naming your fears and proclaiming to all the world all that Christ has done for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.